All right, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our study here. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we do bow in your presence this morning. We acknowledge that you are the only true and living God. And Father, this morning we need your presence. We need the guidance of your Spirit that is able to open our eyes to your truth. We need your word that is in front of us, and we thank you for that. Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, and we pray that as we talk about your word, we consider your word this morning, that if there is someone that has not yet obeyed the word of God and been saved from their sins, that today would be that day. So we desire, Father, that we have a profitable time this morning, and those that are already believers would be built up and encouraged in their most holy faith. So we do commit ourselves into your hands in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so this morning, by the way, our brother Clay is not feeling well, so we should remember him. This morning, we were going to do a kind of a Sunday school lesson, because this is what I was going to share with our kids anyway. So I mentioned to Lance we could consider that all of us, and certainly the Word of God is, as we're going to talk about, is profitable for all people. We can't say that there's a portion of the Scripture that's just for kids, right? Because it's for all of us, and that's part of the point. And so, as you can see, I wrote a verse, perhaps one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. Can everybody see that, by the way? Even those in the back? Okay. Did anybody catch my error? Because I was sitting back there, I realized I left the letter out. Just add a C in there. I forgot to add that. So in our Sunday school class recently, we've been talking about the importance of the Word of God, because that's really where it all starts, isn't it? I mean, certainly the Word of God forms the basis of everything that we do and say and how we live our lives and how we are saved. There's just no getting away from this. This is the very foundation of everything we do as believers, isn't it? And so, therefore, it is important for us to understand that not only is the Word of God important, but how is it important? What does it do for us? How does it help us? And this particular verse, which if you have your Bible in front of you, you could turn to 2 Timothy 3. We'll start out there, and then we'll read some other verses that'll help us with our understanding here. So many of you probably have this memorized. I know I learned this verse as a very young child. And it's good. It's good that we all know this verse, young, old, in between, whatever. Because again, it gives us the most important ways in which we as, well, I can even take it farther than that. Either an unbeliever also needs the Word of God, right? And a believer obviously needs the Word of God. So we all need the Word of God. Young, old, saved, unsaved, everybody across the board needs the Word of God. Okay, so why don't we, maybe together we could read this verse a few times just to get it in our minds. I know many of you have memorized it probably many years ago. So if you want to read it with me, let's go ahead and do that. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, before I did that, I should have said whether we were going to say what's in the parentheses. What I did here is doctrine to me is a very academic type term, right? I prefer the word teaching. Maybe it's a little bit more helpful. Doctrine is the basis for what we believe, right? But it's what we do every week, teaching, right? So I put that in parentheses, teaching. And then also I put in parentheses down there, training, because I feel like that might be a little bit more helpful. So why don't we do it one more time as a group here, and we'll include this word. So doctrine, teaching, and then we'll include training. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Okay, so maybe before we think about this verse a little bit, just a little bit of background. What is Timothy? Well, Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he wrote it toward the end of his life. And what he's wanting to do, as Timothy was kind of one of his, you could consider, a son in the faith, somebody he had spent quite a bit of time with and kind of mentored. And so Paul is wanting to encourage Timothy as he continues as a young man in the faith to help the believers in that early church. And so he's passing on some of the important things. And in fact, one of the things he says in one of the verses that just prior to this, he encourages Timothy that you must continue in, that's verse 14, in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing how you've learned them. So Timothy was taught as a child, as many of you may have been, but Paul is wanting to pass on these things. And again, he's wanting to remind Timothy that the Word of God is extremely important, as it is to all of us. So let's think about this verse 16 for a minute. So all scripture, that's pretty clear. All means all, right? Okay, so we're talking about the whole revealed Word of God, which is all we have. This is what God has given us, right? So all scripture. And the next part of it is going to very clearly explain that this book did not just come together by some kind of human effort. Like, it wasn't just that a handful of godly men got together and decided, well, hey, let's come up with a manual or a handbook for believers. No. It didn't come. It wasn't man's idea. But what this is trying to tell us, I'm just going to underline this, inspiration. What this is trying to tell us is that it came directly from God. Now, that doesn't mean that God was holding the pencil or the quill that he used back then, right? Yeah, pencils. That doesn't mean that he was physically holding and he was writing this. But what it does mean is that it was coming from God. And I want to go to one other scripture that's going to help us understand this. Let's go to 2 Peter for a moment, chapter 1. And we're going to read a verse there that gives us a little bit more information about how this came together. So if you turn to 2 Peter, I want to read two verses there. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. And it says this, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man. So again, this wasn't man's idea. This was God's idea. And in fact, if you look at the Hebrew word there, what you'll see is that means God breathed. In other words, it's coming directly out of the mouth of God. It's not man's. It's not an idea of man. It's not by the will of man, but it's, as this verse tells us here, it is directly from God. So verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So once again, it is coming directly from God, the inspiration of God. So this is not man's doings in any way. It is God's doing. Now, what we do see in Scripture is that that God will use certain men, as he said here, certain holy men, certain men that have been set apart for a purpose, to write his word, and you'll see different styles. Now, we won't go into a lot about that right now, but you'll see like different styles come through in the writings. And we know there's different types of books as we look through Old Testament, New Testament, so on. But the bottom line is that those words, those ideas, those thoughts are coming directly from the mind of God in the mouth of God. So we have to remember that. We want to make sure and very much reject any kind of idea, because it's out there today, you'll see it, idea that this isn't really God's word. Sometimes you'll hear, well, maybe God had something to do with it, but there's a lot of man's ideas in here, or man's things that they wanted to convey to people. And we don't believe that's the truth. We believe it is God's ideas that came through by the Holy Spirit, as we just read, that came through man, but then were put onto pages by man, but from God. So that, I think that's very critical here. So then this gives us a little bit of more understanding of that it came directly from God. God breathed, if you will. And then it says, and is profitable. Well, we understand what profitable is. It's useful, right? It's of some benefit to us. There is profit to be gained, not like this kind of profit, right? But there is profit for our lives and anyone that would read it. So we could say useful, profitable, for. And then he talks about four different things here. And what I want to suggest to you, there's different ways of looking at these four things. But what I want to suggest to you is that the first one here, doctrine or teaching, I see that as kind of more of a general or a broad term. You know, when you're talking about teaching, usually you're not thinking something real specific. But then, if you notice, so this is maybe kind of a general term, and I was going to make some marks on here just to kind of illustrate what we're talking about here. So we could call this, this is kind of a general, oh, I know this is really small, but a general term is what I'm wanting to get across. Teaching. It's doctrine, it's our beliefs, but it's overall. Then what I see happening here is, as we go on, we see reproof, we see correction, and instruction in righteousness. But that's getting a little bit more specific. And what I wanted to do is draw a picture for you, because I like pictures, and in my job we use lots of pictures, we use drawings, and engineering, you always want something to look at. So I was going to draw it down here, but I don't think some can see it if I draw it down here. So what I'm going to do is maybe erase this part of it, because we kind of already know this, right? Okay. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, and then we go into our four things. So what I want to do here now is, I think I'm going to use a blue marker, because that's coming through the best. Some of these aren't showing up as well. So, how do we see this doctrine and teaching? And here's one way to look at it. So, what I think this doctrine and teaching does is it, and I'm going to show this in kind of in almost a timeline form here. It takes somebody that is moving along in life, let's say, right? Okay. And it shows them where they're wrong. And here's what I want to show this as. Has anybody here been to the Grand Canyon? Okay. Many of you have been to the Grand Canyon. So Grand Canyon is this giant hole, right? And what I want to show you is, let's pretend, and by the way, along the edge of the Grand Canyon where you would go into the huge hole, there's usually railings or some kind of warnings. Don't go any farther, right? Stop. Get back going the other way. So what you might envision here is that there's this little thing, and then and so doctrine, this part of it here, I'm just good, and this may be too small, I'm gonna draw a little person here, right? And he's just walking along, he's you know, just enjoying life, but he doesn't see that there's a big problem coming up. There's a huge danger coming up. And so if we say that teaching is the general term here, and you're going to have to take my word for it because you may not be able to read that, then what this first term does is reproof, is it says, hold on, stop. There's danger ahead. So what way I'm going to draw this is I'm going to draw X. You can see that. Stop, meaning you don't want to go over the edge, right? That'd be bad. You'd run into an immediate problem, right? Namely death. In fact, I think every year, some either just by carelessness or whatever, because some people even like to go on the trails and they go right to the edge and they try to take pictures and so on like that, and some of them die, right? So I'm going to say that this, what scripture does and what doctrine and teaching does is it says, hold on, stop, there's danger ahead, and that is reproof. Warning, don't go any farther, stop, there's danger. Okay, so teaching is what finds that individual that's headed down that path that is going to have a big problem. That's going to run into a danger. And reproof says, stop. Don't go any farther. Okay, so if reproof says stop, so we've got the first two covered, what do you think correction does? Turn around, right? So correction says, okay, it's okay. Don't go any farther. Come back, do a turnaround, and go that way. So do you see? The teaching of God's word says, overall, it warns, it says, stop, don't go this way, because there's danger, there's bad things that are going to happen to you there. And even you could say that if we move this into the realm of salvation, there's death and destruction. And in fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that you might remember, Proverbs 14:12, that says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man. And that guy is just gone. He's not aware of any kind of danger or problem coming up. But what the scripture does, what teaching does, what doctrine does, is it says, stop, don't go any further. Instead of going the way of destruction and the way of death, do a turnaround and go in the opposite direction. And so then, let's think about this for a second. So we're talking about teaching, right? It's kind of a broad term. And we're talking about reproof, which is stop. Don't go any farther. And then we're saying correction is don't go that way because there's danger. Go this way. That's correction. And then the final part is instruction in righteousness or training. And so here's the point where we could say training comes in, right? Because now you've been corrected, you've been reproofed, you've been warned, you've been corrected. Now you're going the right way. Now you need training from God's word in the way to live as God would have you live, right? Or righteousness. Righteousness just is a term that describes right living, as the word would suggest here. Godly living, righteousness. And so I was wanting to kind of show you that picture, because I think that once we get, I put the little stick man over here, now, because he has been reproved, he's been corrected, and now he is in this training program, if you will. God's, you might call this God's training program, right? Because it's got everything we need in order to live life. Now he can live a life that is pleasing to God. And so do you see that progression from, from, you know, thinking everything is wonderful and just not realizing the danger, and then God's word saying, whoa, 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 stop. Don't go any farther. You need to be going that direction. Okay, so then there's two other terms here that we should talk about when we talk about the Word of God, because these are important too, and I want to read just two scriptures quickly about that. So when we talk about the Word of God, there's two words that we use, and I'll try to write them big enough so you can see them. Inerrant. Everybody heard that word? Inerrant? Right. So inerrant is without error, right? So when we're talking about teaching, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, it is without error. It is, remember, it's from the mouth of God. It's God-breathed. It is without error. Now, there's another term that you might be associated with that, with the scripture, and that is infallible. Does anybody know what that word means? That's just another term that means that cannot be wrong. Now, there's a couple of verses which I'll just read quick. You don't really need to turn to them because I want to move on to a few others. Titus 1:2 says this, speaking of the of God himself, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Which God, who cannot lie. What does that tell us about the scriptures? Inerrant, and it is infallible, meaning it can't, it's incapable of making any mistakes or errors. So any errors that we would perceive in the Word of God, what's that really meaning? It's meaning that I've got to, if I see something in Scripture, well, I'm like, wait, that's not right. No. Because the Scripture is perfect. The Scripture is infallible. It's inerrant. It is impossible for God to lie, and the Scripture is directly from God. Therefore, there cannot be a mistake. It's incapable of saying something that is wrong or making a mistake. So here's another interesting thing here. When, biblically speaking, what term might you think of when you think of a change in direction or a change in mind? Remember here, this guy, he's thinking that the way he's going is good, but then he had to do a turnaround. Now, if this guy up here that we were showing, if he thinks, you know what, I don't need the Word of God. And he just keeps going. He says, "Never, I don't need reproof. I don't need correction. I'm just going to do things my way." He's going to end up down there, isn't he? Death and destruction. That's what is in store for somebody that rejects God's word, because there's no other hope, unfortunately. But the term you might think of, where you're going one way and you do a 180, and you go the other way. Repentance, that's exactly right, okay? So you might think of, this sounds a little bit like repentance, because repentance means basically it's a change of mind or a change of direction. It's acknowledging that I'm wrong, I've sinned, and I want to do it God's way. I want to go from my way, which is leading to death and destruction, 180 degrees to doing it God's way. That's repentance. So let's read a verse from Mark 1. This is the words of the Lord himself. And then I want to read a final verse. or actually a couple more verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And we'll read verse 15. Well, actually, let's read verse 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says this. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then pay very close attention to the last sentence. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, so repent and believe. So if we're going to be ones, again, whether we're believers or unbelievers, if we're going to be ones that are following the word of God, repentance has got to be where it starts from, because we've got to get it in our minds that even though our way may seem right, as the Proverbs say, that God's way is always right. And even though we are convinced, and there's, you know, there's literally billions of people on this planet right now that are convinced that their way is right and God's way is wrong, right? And unfortunately, as we said, the only place that that can lead is death and destruction. And even worse than that is the lake of fire or hell. And that is what awaits people that reject God. But so in its last phrase here, the Lord Jesus himself says, repent and believe in the gospel. So let's take this word of God and this process that we're talking about, and let's apply it then to a unbeliever. And let's talk about what that person needs to do. And the very first thing that person needs to do is repent, is to agree with God that I'm going the wrong way. I'm doing things my own way, and it's going to certainly fail. And I want to do things God's way. And then the next thing it says, I'm changing my mind, right? And then the next thing is believe. We know that it is impossible to please God without faith, without believing God, right? And even there's another verse in Romans 2:4 that I was going to read. But so Romans 2:4 talks about the goodness of God leading us to repentance, right? And so when we're just cruising along here, and we don't even think about the goodness of God. Brother Lance, I think you said this morning that an interesting comment, that how would we know about the love of God if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ? How would we be able to come to a full understanding, and even that by saying that by itself, a full understanding, how would we be able to understand the love of God if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ? And so it's the goodness of God that leads us to that point of saying, my goodness, from what I know about what God did and how that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to pay a great price for my sins, that kind of love, how can I turn that down? Why would I want to turn that down? After I see and I understand what it is that God has done for me, how could I do anything else? And then let's turn to, because we're talking about the gospel here, and the gospel, of course, is going to be understood even fuller as we go along here. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, because 1 Corinthians 15, I feel like, has probably the best explanation, or best definition, let's just say, of the gospel. Let's understand what it is that we need to repent of and what we need to believe. Because Lord Jesus himself said, believe. Unless you believe, you will surely perish, right? So 1 Corinthians 15, let's read verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So Paul is saying, this is what I preach to you, and here I'm going to remind you of it. I'm going to state it here clearly. So verse 3 and 4 is going to clearly define, what is this gospel? What is this good news? How is it that we can repent of our sins, we can agree with God that we're wrong, and what is this alternative way of thinking that we need to understand in order to be saved, as Paul says here. So verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." And notice the very, very important phrase that follows that. He doesn't just stop with Christ died for our sins. 100% true statement. But notice how he then states or he follows up on that. Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures. So there it is again. It's according to the Word of God. It was prophesied many, many hundreds of years prior to that, right? But it was the Word of God that said it was going to happen, and it did happen, right? It happened exactly at the time that God had ordained that it would happen. So Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So that's the first piece of good news. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So we don't have to pay for our own sins because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to die. But then it continues. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, once again, according to the Scriptures. That Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. And so there it is. There's the gospel in two verses. Paul is saying, Christ died for my sins. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He rose. So what is it that I have to believe? If I want to follow God's word, and I want to follow this progression of understanding that I'm wrong, I need to be correct, I need to be reproved and corrected, and then I need to look to the Scriptures for instruction and righteousness. I must believe these things. So what must I believe? Believe in the gospel, which, as we read here, that Christ died for my sins. And therefore, since he died for my sins, I don't need to suffer and die because he already paid the price for my sins. If I had to in some way pay for my sins still, then what would that be saying about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice? That somehow it wasn't enough. What was? Because it was done once and for all, never to be repeated. So here's the gospel, the clear statement of the gospel. Repent, agree with God that I'm wrong, that I need his help in understanding the way that I should go, and the way that I should go is going to be completely different than my own way, and I need to believe, and I need to understand that. Now, once I've understood that I'm wrong and I need to be told what's right, then I'm in this last category, right, where I'm saved, I've been forgiven, I am a child of God. Now, in order to live like God wants me to live, I need to be instructed. I need to be taught. I need to insert myself into God's training program, if you will. And I need to understand what is this righteousness, this life of righteousness all about? Well, there again, it begins with this. It continues with this. And for all of our life here, and even into eternity, we know that God's word always accomplishes what is intended to accomplish, and it will last forever. There's not a lot of things in this world that will last forever, is there? Our spirits and our souls will last forever. The Word of God will last forever. But I don't think there's anything else. This world is going to burn up. God's going to destroy this world. He's going to make a brand new earth for us. But what we have here, God's Word, will last forever. So I think that the main, well, let me read just one other, because we've got 5 minutes left. One other verse in Hebrews 4, because this kind of goes along with what we were just saying here. Hebrews 4:12. Let's just read that verse in closing here, and then we'll be done. And this is another great verse about the Word of God. I'm sure you've heard it. So Hebrews 4, verse 12 says this: "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What I think, this verse is saying a number of things, but I think the most important thing we can take from this verse is that God has given us His Word as a tool to make sure that our lives are in line with His Word. Because, when it talks about it's sharper than a two-edged sword and it pierces deep, that means that if there's something going on in my heart that maybe you don't see or nobody else sees, it's just, I might have some kind of thought or idea that is not right, but you won't see it, will you? But do you think the Word of God is incapable of seeing it? No, it gets to the deepest part of us, and it, as the word, as the verse tells us, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it can get down to the very deepest part of our being, and that's what makes it so useful, right? Because as we read the Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it, it's the scripture talks about it being kind of like a mirror, and it shows us what's wrong. Because if I get to the point, or anybody gets to the point where I'm kind of like, okay, I understand it, I get it, I don't need this anymore, well, then I've just really gone astray. Because the Bible is intended to be a continual tool. The Word of God is a continual tool, and it's infinite. Right, so even some people in this world have gotten a huge amount, have become just incredibly knowledgeable about the Word of God. But do you think they got to the end of it? No, there's no way. Because even if we were to study the Word of God for 24/7 for years and years and years, obviously that would be impossible. But we would never get to the end of the Word of God. So I hope that has maybe given you some thoughts and ideas about the Word of God, and it's how this process, God intended this process of teaching and reproof and correction and instruction of righteousness, and how that helps us as believers. Or maybe you're an unbeliever. Maybe there's an unbeliever that's listening now or later that has said, well, I never really understood that the Bible could do that, and that the Bible could actually help me in my life, and it can completely change my life, and it can show me how I can go from death unto life and be saved from my sins and have eternal life and be promised a home in heaven. And maybe you haven't understood that, but the gospel, as we mentioned earlier, is so necessary for our world today, isn't it? We see a world that is unfortunately lost and headed to a lost eternity in the lake of fire. And yet, the Word of God has the answers. And we can trust it. We can know that it has exactly what we need for every moment in time. I can't tell you how many times that I've been maybe a little bit discouraged or not understanding something, and I open God's Word and I'm helped in some way that I never even expected. And so the importance of the Word of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Repent of your sins and be converted. And it's a wonderful thing. Most of us are saved here and can testify what a wonderful thing it is. So let's go ahead and close. We're out of time. Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you that you have not just left us in this world, but that you have given us your word. We thank you for the perfection of your word. We thank you for the infallibility of your word. We thank you that we know that it is without error, that it cannot make a mistake. Father, we thank you for the perfection of your word. And we thank you it's something that we have so freely available today. Nobody is going to try to stop us from reading your word, and we thank you for that. But Father, we pray that we would take advantage of that, and that we would not waste the time, that we would be in your word, that we would be meditating on your word, that we would be looking for the many, many truths that you have for us. We thank you also for your spirit that helps us with our understanding and helps us to understand the things. We know that not all things in your word are easily understood, and yet we have the greatest helper of all in your spirit. And we thank you that as believers, he indwells us. We thank you that he reveals the things of yourself to us on a regular basis. But we also would pray that if there is somebody listening today that has not yet received salvation, they have not yet, perhaps they haven't heard the gospel in a clear way, we pray that they would be saved. We thank you for the clear way that it's explained to us that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to your scriptures. We thank you for these truths, and we ask that if there's somebody that's not saved, that they would be saved today. And so we want to thank you for this time, and I thank you for your word, and we want to thank you most of all for the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.